Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
The masterful Wally Ali. Thank you for that piece. Move them images throughout a paradise. Move them all and keep the world out of order. So, humble is a turn right in. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim. Ashadu ilaha ilaha illallah. Ashadu ilaha ilaha ilaha. We bear witness and we testify. There is no God but one God whose proper name is Allah. He is the creator of this creation. He is the one that lives and he never dies. He the one who gives life, but he never dies. He the one who put all things that we see in creation and allow it to exist. He's one and alone. He has no partner. He ruled this universe. He ruled the whole universe by himself. So we're here tonight on this broadcast trying to put the creator of this creation number one in the world. Ain't nothing greater than the one creator who lives and never dies. He is the one that has sent us. Like Jesus said, he didn't come on his own. He wasn't born on his own. He was sent. He was sent. by his grace. He was sent by the one who gave him the life. He didn't come on this own. So we love the sinner who sent Jesus, who sent Abraham and Moses and all of the prophets and all the people that we see and we don't see. All of the human beings who have been created on this earth were sent by the one creator. So we're here tonight to hope we can get rid of the things that interfere with us worshiping one God. We hope we can get rid of that. The things that come between the believe in one God. But we're going to try. We can't do it. We're going to show try. So we like to start off with a prayer. Anything worth doing or anything that's worth beginning or ending, then prayer should be in that. Ain't nothing greater than prayer to your creator who have sent us. Ain't nothing greater than that. So we like to make a prayer, and this prayer called Al-Fatiha. It calls the opening prayer, and our prayer every day, 17 times a day, we make this prayer. We ask the creator of this creation. We open with the prayer called Al-Fatiha, means to open. So we like to open our talk. First, we will say it in the Arabic language, and then we will say it in the English translation. Humalay Shaitan Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbilay to me, Rahman Rahim, Malikyum to me. Iyaka Nabudi Akana Sahin, Adine Serato Mustakim, Serato Ladina Anto Alehim, Glory Magdubi Alehim, Walido. I mean, in this translation, seek protection with Allah from against Satan, excuse me, the rejected enemy, the outcast, with the name of Almighty God, Allah, most gracious, most merciful. All praise are due to Allah, the Lord, cherished, sustainer of all the worlds. Allah is most gracious, Allah is most merciful. Allah is the master of the day of judgment, in which we all live, thee alone do we worship, and thy aid we seek. We're asking Allah to continue always showing us this great way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favors on, and not of those who wrath is brought down, and none of those who go astray. Amen. We thank you for joining us tonight. We're here on this Block Talk radio station for one reason, and that is to bring the truth, and this truth is given to us by all of the prophets. All of the prophets brought oneness of God. All the prophets brought the truth that set all human beings free. When a human being thinks he's better than somebody else, that human being not free. That human being that been captured by Satan himself, because Pharaoh had that problem. He thought he was better than Moses' people. And Moses had to come and tell him what's going to happen to them for that, and tell them what they're going to miss if they keep worshiping like that. They're going to miss paradise and go straight to hell. Pharaoh understood that. He understood that. Because he said, Moses' God is God. And we have to believe God, Abel one God, and Pharaoh was not God. He's the man that acts and carries himself as a Pharaoh. He is not God. So we here tonight hope we can bring some clarity to this situation. That we worship one God, worship God in spirit and truth. That's all we say. Don't that make sense to worship God? And you can't see God, but you can see the sun. You can't go near. So if God is a man, no man had ever been to the sun and came back, can't get raped. And God is the creator who made the sun. And no man can go near that sun, or no man can change anything on that sun, but the creator who created the sun can. So Jesus said, I didn't come on my own, but God sent me. Huh? And he sent him through Mary, his mother. And Mary was his mother. So God don't have no mother. He don't have no father. God don't have no beginning. Do God, and God do not have no ending. There's nothing like the creator of this creation. So we thank the creator of this creation for allowing us to be tested on this earth. Because all of come through this earth and to go to the hereafter. You had to come through this earth. You had to pass the test on this earth in order to make it to the hereafter. If you fail the test on this earth, then you're going to miss the hereafter. Because the hereafter is for those who done right, who those who heard the word of God and obeyed it as best as they can. Did the best they can and what they ever they had to do with. So we thank the creator of the creation for giving us the opportunity to share this good news. There ain't nothing like the Allah. We were raised here in America. We were, the African-American people was raised in a time when they was told that man was God. That man came and we are made in the image of God. This is what the Bible started off saying. We are made in the image of God. Huh? We are made in the image of our mother and father. We are made in the image of Adam. We are made in the image of God. So the Bible, who have been tampered with, can be proven that has it have been tampered with. See, a lie can be proven as a lie. The truth cannot be changed. The truth is clear, and the truth makes sense, and the truth is good for everybody. But saying God came in an image, didn't make an image of him of a European, that put everybody else at risk of obeying or respecting God or saying God don't love them. Well, so we had to crush that. And only truth can crush that. And who can give the truth better than the one who's been under the falsehood, been under the lies of this world? Hmm? Pharaoh was planning on killing all of the boy babies. But Moses' mother, realizing that, she put him in a basket and sent him up the river. Some say he's sending down the river. But we know that history goes on to say that he ended up in the house of Pharaoh being raised by his mother. Raised, and they raised him to be one of them. But Moses, as he got older, that gene, that goodness God put in him started coming out. He wanted to hurt the slaves. He didn't want to be like those cruel people that brutalized slaves. Because his nature wasn't like that. He wasn't like that. So when Pharaoh got a wind of that, he put Moses out in the desert. But having Almighty God rescued him and saved him, and let him find some good people in the desert that he was able to get along with until he got himself in position to study and find out what was his role in this world. He got married. Then he tended to flock of sheep. He did everything that he helped his wife before she became his wife, protect. Let her water her sheep when men were at that time the same way they are today in some cases, want to take the advantage of the female. We let her water, let her made her wait last. But Moses broke that up. And because he broke that up, he was able to marry the wife, the sister that he helped get her sheep, get her sheep watered first. So they took him to his father, her father, and her father okayed for them to get married. And they got married, and they lived a good life until Moses went to the mountain. And he went to the mountain. Once he got to the mountain, he went there to get a fire. And we can use all the allegorical and all the other mixed story with the fire, what fire mean and all that. We can do all of that. But the book says he went to get the fire. And as he got to the fire, that fire, that strange looking fire, something told him to take his shoes off. Told him he was on holy ground. So he took his shoes off. Then he messed around asking God, can you see him? And God told him, if you see me, the mountain was coming down. So Moses passed out, and he looked at the mountain that was standing crumbled down to dust. He never asked Allah again to see him. He has seen his power. He has seen without a doubt what he can do. He can make a mountain disappear. You know what he can do in the world with Pharaoh and anybody else. So praise be to Allah. So we here tonight to bring them the reality of that. We've been to Dr. King said he was going to the mountain. He was going to the mountain. And he said on the mountain, these different mountains, we as African American people were having plenty of trouble. No freedom from these mountains. No love coming from these mountains. All nothing but hatred and evil and corruption were coming from these mountains. From people who said God came in their image. So all praise is due to Allah. We're going to explain that better than the ones who've been on these lives. They brought us from the other little islands and brought us here. And they took our name and culture. In other words, we couldn't speak our language. We couldn't identify with our culture. Or they would kill us. They changed our name. They changed the way we eat. They changed the way that we was living. They wouldn't let us get married. They wouldn't let us take care of our wife and children. They separated us. And they raised us like a bunch of hogs or a bunch of animals. And taught us to be animals, treated us and did some of the most horrible things you can imagine that they can do to a people. This is what they did. This is what they did. This is what they did. So they did all that to us. The one who created us, he had to send someone to come and liberate us, help us get out of this situation. And one of the things we know, we were tricked into slavery, and so we had to be tricked out of it. And one of the things we were told, the African-American, our Negro African-American Christian was told that a man named Jesus God. We were told that a man named Master Farad was God. And Master Farad, we accepted that because Master Farad Muhammad, who was more closer than liberating us than the Caucasian God they gave us of Jesus, that thing went back to liberate us. That thing told us to take all the brutality, all the brute, and all the beating, and all the mistreatment. Told us to take all of that. I told us to integrate with them And once we integrated with them, they took everything that we had once, they took it all back. Huh? What kind of people would do something like that and call themselves in the family of God? We went along with that, and we still going along with that because as a people, we don't own nothing. We don't own nothing. We don't own no planes, and we don't own no ships. We don't own no cars, factories that make cars, but we made the first car. And they tell us about that. They tell us how we made the air conditioner, how we made the lawnmower and the blower and the connection to the train and different parts of the train and how we made the cotton, the machine that picked the cotton. They tell us how we did that, how we rotated the crop. We taught them how to do that. How to make their crop produce more. We taught them all that. At the same time, we got nothing to show from them. What kind of people would do that? Now you got these Jews telling us about a Holocaust. And we found out they had something to do with our Holocaust. They the ones finding the ship that brought us here and worked us for 100 years and brutalized us and didn't pay us nothing. But a false promise. Then at the end of offer us 40 acres and a mule, and they took all that back. Huh? So we are the Christ that this world has been talking about coming. Not, huh? And you realize that talking about Christ coming, they're talking about us. We already here. Huh? We already been nailed to the cross, nailed to the our feet have been nailed down where we can't go in the way of free people. Our hands have been tied up where we can't use them as a free people to make a better life for our family and for our community and children. We messed up. They didn't want to put in our life party. Huh? Party like in 1945. They put all that in us. 1899 or 1820, I don't know where they put, wherever the news came out, the TV, whatever they said on TV, it came directly to us. So all praise are due to the one creator who want to see us go on top. We want to see us make progress in the religion of Islam. And the world realize if we change, the world that tell you that there is a God. If we come out of the wicked life that they have offered to us, then we leave that alone and come into the life of we being honest and upright and don't take from each other and being kind to each other. See one thing about a hypocrite. Once you know something about a hypocrite, and you can support them hypocrites. When people support the Republican Party, even the Democrats, we stuck in the middle supporting some hypocrites. We in the middle because we don't want to come together and unite and act like there's nobody in the world to buy from but ourselves. When we ever get like that, then all the darkness they done put on us is going to be gone once we leave that. So all praise are due to Allah, Lord, Cherish, and Sustainer of all the world. Well, I'm going to get ready to bring another co-host worker on. I don't talk my time. I'm going to bring another one of our workers in this cause of calling people back to the oneness of God. Our good brother, Suja Muhammad, coming out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am Brother Abdul Akbar and Dad Akbar. We're coming out of Decatur, Georgia. We are your host tonight, and Suja Muhammad coming out of Baton Rouge along with his wife, Quran Muhammad. We are here tonight just to continue trying to get rid of the false God that they done gave us, the God that don't exist, the one that say gonna come. Allah ain't got to come. Allah's already here. Allah knows and sees everything. Nobody leaves this world without getting God's judgment. We come in this world to get to the next world. That's why we're here. We're in this world to get to the next world. If there's a heaven, there is a heaven, and there is a hell, we get to those places by coming through this world here. And how we come through this world and what we continue to use, what we continue to operate with in this world, determine where we go in the next world. Allah said, whatever you do in this world, it determines where you go into the next world. So I'm going to bring our next speaker up, Brother Sujah Muhammad, come out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sujah Muhammad.
Walaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Like you always say, when you're ready, you ain't got to get ready. And this world ready, and you one of those that stay ready. So you got it, my good brother.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I also testify, and I also bear witness that there is only one creator. There's only one God. And I also bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, Christ Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Lot, Noah, all those great men is the messenger of God, God's servant. And Prophet Muhammad is the seal of all the prophets. He's the last prophet. After Prophet Muhammad, there is no other prophet. Jesus is not coming back, brothers and sisters. This is one of those big lies that's been told. That Jesus
ain't
coming back.
Ain't coming back.
He's not. Jesus, and now if they say that Jesus is God, God don't go nowhere. Their scripture said that God is ever present and never absent. So if a thing is ever present and never absent, if it's ever present, it means it's here all the time. It don't go nowhere, you know. And they saying Jesus is coming back, you know. Yeah, you know they gonna tell you another lie after they get through with the one they already done told. That's what's coming back, you know. Jesus said that our Father. In the prayer, he said, watch me while I pray. Jesus said, our Father. He called God Father, you know. Our Father. But he, in that prayer, he said, watch me. You know, he didn't say that my Father. He said, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And he didn't say his will be done. He said thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way Jesus presented himself. He never did present himself as somebody that you can't follow. You can't follow God. I'd like to see one of you all try to follow God. It's a joke, brothers and sisters. These people are big liars. They're great liars. And they lie so much until they put a lie there and then they argue with it. You know? They get on television with it. You know, and they it's just like a magician. They're going to show you what they can do with the lie. You know, I can do a 100 things with this damn lie. You know, let me start telling you one. Jesus is the Son of God. And they tell that lie, and then they tell you all about the Son. And that, the Son, he died and he was killed, you know, by disbelievers, and they nailed him to the cross. You know. No, they didn't kill him. He said that they nailed him to the cross while he was alive. Get that clear. They nailed him to the cross while he was alive. They said nail his hands and nail his feet. They put him on the cross. Now, in doing this, they must have had him laying down. Because you just can't do that nailing unless you got a solid footing. You know, they had to build a cross, put it on the ground, I just can't see Jesus just laying down and say, well, hold it, let me lay down and put my leg here and leg here and put my arms over here and nail my right hand first, okay. And after they nailed his right hand, nail my left hand, and when you do that, nail my right feet, my right foot, excuse me. All right, and now nail my left foot. They got these big nails, and they're hitting him, you know, in the flesh with these big nails. You know, and they say they stick him in the side, I think, with a knife. And they put a crown over his head. And they say they crushed the crown into his flesh. You know, brothers and sisters, this ain't nothing but a lie that's been told. I'm not even going to say it's a movie. It ain't nothing but a lie, an outright lie, you know. And so they told that big lie, and they got all kind of programs that is running from that lie, and they able to teach that lie every day. And then they try to tell you how to apply that lie in your life, how to apply it in your life. You know, brothers and sisters, they did a hell of a job. That's all that I can say. I like to read something from the Holy Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful. Starting at Surah 40, Ayah 21. Allah said, do they not travel through the earth and see what was the end of those before them? They were even superior to them in strength. And in the traces they have left in the land. But Allah did call them to account for their sins. And none had they to defend them against Allah. That was because there came to them the messengers with clear signs, but they rejected them. So Allah called them to account, for he is full of strength, stricken punishment. Of old we send Moses with our signs and authority manifest to Pharaoh, Haman, and Quran, but they called in him a sorcerer, tell a lie. Now when he came to them in truth from us, they said, slay the sons of those who believe. Now listen to this, brothers and sisters. This is one of the things that you had to pay attention to, because they are applying this in the society today. This is what they're doing today. They are slaying all our sons, and you go and do the research on it and see where and what they're doing to our young sons. They got prisons that is plentiful, that is not owned by the government or by the police, I mean by the government. They owned by private citizens. They building prisons by private citizens. They got them on Wall Street, and they things set up to make money. Now, who's going to these prisons? Who are they sending to these prisons? The majority of the people that's in these prisons is our young sons. Is a young African-American man, black man, is in these prisons, brothers and sisters. And they get this concept, the reason they're killing and they putting all the young sons in prison is because of this here scripture that's in religion. Religion is real important, brothers and sisters. It's more important than we think it is. But religion is supposed to be applied and lived. You see? And this is one of the things that you can bear witness to is alive today. They said, slay the sons of those who believe. He's talking about the believers. They want to kill the believers' son. They didn't say to slay that's any sons, to slay the son of the believers, of those who believe with him and keep alive their females. Ain't this what we've been talking about for years? We've been passing that on, and we've been warning the people about this is what they're doing. Keep alive the females. Why they want to keep the females alive?
The man carries the seed.
You see, they know that the female is the first teacher, and they know, like one of the things my wife said, that the female carried the seed.
The man carried the seed.
The female received the seed. And says develop in the female ovum, you know, and it's developing to a child, but the man has the seed, and he gives the seed to the female, you know, but if you kill the male. None of that can happen. They're talking about completely annihilating or committing genocide, you know, stop the male from even making heaven or reproducing himself by killing, by slaying him. And then he's saying that what he gonna do, he wanna have access to the female, and that's what's been done in slavery. That's when you got so many light skinned and blondes and blue eyed in our families, you know, because this type of concept, there's been this type of idea, this type of deception been put out here where they kill the male and they let the female live, you know, Allah says, but the plots, that's what I'm talking about, plots of unbelievers in and nothing but error and delusion. Said Pharaoh, lead me to slay Moses and let him call on his Lord. What I fear is lest he should change your religion, unless he should cause mischief to appear in the land. Moses said, I have indeed called upon my Lord and your Lord for protection from every arrogant one who believes not in the day of account. A believer, a man from among the peoples of Pharaoh's. They had believers among the peoples of Pharaoh's who had concealed in his fate, said, will you slay a man because he says, my Lord is Allah, when he has indeed come to you with clear signs from your Lord? And if he be a liar, on him is the sin of his life. But if he is telling the truth, then will fall on you something of the calamity of which he warned you. Truly Allah guides not one who transgresses and lies. O my peoples, yours is the dominion this day. Ye have the upper hand in the land. But who would help us from the punishment of Allah should it befall us? Pharaoh said, I but point out to you that which I see myself. Nor do I guide you but to the path of right. He faking. Then said the man who believed, O my people, truly I do fear for you something like the day of disaster or the confederate in sin, something like the fate of the peoples of Noah, the Ad and the Thamud, and those who came after them. But Allah never wishes injustice to his servant. And O my people, I fear for you a day when there would be mutual calling and wailing, a day when ye shall turn your backs and flee. No defender shall ye have from Allah. And any whom Allah leads to stray, there is none to guide. And to you there came Joseph in times gone by with clear signs. But you cease not to doubt of the mission for which he has come and went. When he died, you said no messenger will Allah send after him. Thus do Allah leave to stray such as transgress and live in doubt, such as dispute about the signs of Allah without any authority that has reached them. Grievous and odious is such conduct in the sight of Allah and of the believers. Thus do Allah seal up every heart of arrogant and obstinate transgressors. The man who believes said further, O my people, follow me. Now, this is just a man from the peoples of Pharaoh's. He asking the peoples to follow him. All right? The man who believed it said, Father, O my people, follow me. I will lead you to the path of right. O my people, this life of the present is nothing but temporary convenience. It is the hereafter that is the home that will last. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely Allah speaks the mighty truth. Brothers and sisters, this is also showing us that we have a mission. We got to listen to the prophets and study the books and come together on the truth. You see? Or else these people is going to do what they're doing now. They're getting all the wealth from us. And they're using the wealth to stay in charge. And they're using the wealth against us. Our tax money should be used to support us and help us establish ourselves. But they're using the wealth like it's their wealth. We're in a country that's putting together leaders that don't support us with the money that we have to pay. It's just like the gangsters. We had to pay the people that are in business. The gangsters threaten them if they don't pay, the gangsters run them out of business. They got a system set up where we got to give the gangsters X amount of money. I call them gangsters. Every time we buy an item, we pay for it. But we also have to pay a tax. And that tax is for that gangster. And they get a certain amount of, they get billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, because there's so many of us is paying every time we buy an item. Anything that we buy, we had to pay taxes on it. And supposedly, with that taxes, we're supposed to take care of the needy and the poor and things that we need to be taken care of in this society, like the highways, the electricity, gas, water. All these, and it don't spend, that don't take up all the money that we give them. Pay us food stamps and Medicare and Medicaid. The old votes, what did they pay the old votes?
SSC.
Social Security. All that is from the money that they take from us, which they call taxes. They putting taxes on us. And they got secretaries, treasurers, and different things like that. See, some of us are so ignorant, it kind of hurts to talk to them. They think that that money belongs to the white man. That's how, so you got, we got that kind of people among us because of slavery. So don't be too hard on them. We got people think like that. That money is the white man's money. That's not none of our money. And here we are paying taxes like everybody else. We're not exempt from taxes. They not giving us nothing free. They not helping us pay for it. That's not no favor for them to pay off the college. Tuition. If they do that with our tax money, that's not that they not giving us nothing. They using our own money. And then you don't say nothing when they spend billions of dollars on some other countries that is racist. That openly say that they call you a nigger. Then they use our tax money to set up a police department, and that police department got people in there that hate niggers. That shoots black people in the back on television where you can see it. That put their knee on our black males. And smother them. And when they're killing them with their knees on their neck, They tell the male, don't struggle, be still. All this is happening, brothers and sisters, and the reason it's happening is because the wrong peoples is in authority. It ain't so much the wrong people's in authority. It's just one people is in authority. You gotta have African American people's in authority. You gotta have the Japanese, the Chinese, the Mexican, the Indians. You gotta have more than just Caucasian people's in authority. They're the majority, and they're in authority. So they don't have no competition. They set the prices the way they want to set it. If you don't pay for it, then you don't get the product. You don't get what you need. So this is what's going on, brothers and sisters. We living in a society, brothers and sisters, that control the food. And they got drug stores set up where they give us drugs. They legalize drugs and make us pay for it. And you can't get out there with no drugs of your own. When you start selling drugs, it's illegal. They put the law against you. But they got drug stores. Then they make the drug legal, and they catch you selling it, you still get put in jail. They make it legal. You can sell marijuana. And to catch you with it, they put you in jail. Oh, boy. They had a time where you couldn't sell alcohol. And that's all they sell now. Everything they do in this society, they got to celebrate it with alcohol. But there was a time that it was against the law to sell alcohol. They bring in homosexuality to life. And they got the homosexuals out front where they support the homosexuals, so they are now one that you had to go and get a job from the homosexual, from a gay boss. You got a gay boss. The condition that we're in. A lot of them blessed us with Islam. A lot of them blessed us with the Holy Quran. The Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon the Prophet Muhammad. And we got the Holy Quran. We can read the book and we can see what's going on and know what's going on. We are not in the dark no more. But Allah didn't bless us with this knowledge where we will start fighting among ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we going to come together willingly or unwillingly. And inshallah, we strive, we pray that we come together willingly. Allah has set it up where if you disobey him, there's a judgment. You know, but if you obey him, it's a reward, a blessing. And it's Allah that establishes what's right and what's wrong. It's a law that established the marriage life. Allah is the one that established that. Allah says, is there any other truth than his truth? Allah established truth. If you use truth that's coming from Allah, so we thank Allah for all these things. We pray that Allah bless us and give us the strength to be obedient to him. We came to you in peace. We're going to leave you in peace. Well, assalamu alaikum. Turn it over to you, Brother Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Allah work, brother. Head on mute.
Yes, sir.
Good job. Got any questions? Any questions? Anything that I think Brother Amin, he got his hand raised. Let me bring him up. Anybody else just raise their hand? Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amin.
Walaikum assalam, Brother Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
With my salam, alhamdulillah, and all the believers and listeners out there, Assalamu alaikum. And may Allah bless us all. This morning, it was AM 360 program where this Brother Kareem, Brother Imam Kareem Hamid, he have a show where he plays the Imam's lectures, and the believers call in, and they call in and they comment how, you know, about something the Imam said, and you know, and they share like that. They share.
You know? Alhamdulillah.
And one brother, Imam DeLacy Umar of Florida, he was calling in, and actually he got a show on right after that show called Learning to Make It in the Land of Plenty. It's called Learning to Make It in the Land of Plenty. That's his show. They come on after that.
Anyway, okay.
He was saying that, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
alhamdulillah. Yeah, I didn't take a call because brother going to call. He going to call in. He was calling, and I was telling him, go ahead and call into the show, and then he'll hear my comment because this is what I wanted to talk to him about. Anyway, it's a brother named Dr. Artis Terrell, and out here, he's a good brother out here in the Los Angeles area. All praises be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So, Imam DeLacy Umar, he has a masjid in Florida. Him and his people have a masjid in Florida. And he was talking about the school that he had to get with the immigrant community. In other words, work with the immigrant community in order to get the school going. So he was saying the school goes up to the eighth grade or so, and he says that a brother who's a hafiz of Quran, in other words, a hafiz, of course, we all know, memorize the Holy Quran from beginning to end. You know, from beginning to end, and he says, and he's the one who teaches the Arabic to the children, and I was saying that's the key. I think that's one of the keys. See, the Imam Muhammad was, when Imam Muhammad came to us, he introduced us to Arabic. He told us learn Arabic. You know, he said learn Arabic because you have meaning in words that you won't get just reading the English, you know, just reading the English, because it's all kind of meaning of the, sometimes the same words. So he told us to learn the Arabic, you know, and he didn't emphasize being a hafiz, you know. Imam Muhammad didn't emphasize, or I never heard him emphasize that. But now that a lot of us are studying Arabic and learning Arabic, we say our prayers in Arabic and the Quranic Arabic, so Quran got brothers like Kasim Ahmed who, you know, really got out and learned, and brother Yahya Abdullah, Florida, and a number of brothers who are very, very as the chronic Arabic. So I think it's our time to introduce our little ones to learn the Quran from beginning to end by heart, you know, because they're little. And even if you're not, even if you're not little, even if you're an adult, I was listening to a brother saying that he started memorizing the Quran. He was 20 years old and had a baby and a wife, you know, and because the Arabic is what we do our prayers in and everything. So my point is that I think now is the time to introduce that concept to our children of memorizing the Quran. You know what it's going to do? It's going to help us focus more of our attention on the Quran. Because if we tell our children to memorize, and just our population, you know, to actually to memorize the Quran from beginning to end. I mean, your children could do it. It don't take too long for children because their minds are fresh and powerful. You know what I mean? And they're going to grow into it. And alhamdulillah. That's basically what I wanted to introduce. And, you know, along with the Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School and Hafiza Quran program, you know, because I think maybe some of our parents may be kind of hesitate to really get behind Sister Claire Muhammad School because they may think, you know, it may be some of the old teachings have kind of like crept into the Claire Muhammad curriculum and teachings and stuff, you know, because in the first we had, you know, we had brothers and sisters who were volunteers. They're volunteers. They weren't really trained teachers or educated teachers or people who knew the language, but volunteers. And alhamdulillah, it was, you know, a good thing then when it was the University of Islam, you know. When you say that you have a Hafiz of Quran program, if you tell parents that you got to have, they say, well, these people are serious. These are some serious Muslims. They're talking about memorizing teaching your children to memorize the Quran from the beginning to the end. You see? And then along with the chemistry, along with the biology, along with the mathematics and calculus and everything that we're going to teach them too, you know. So I just thought I'd mention that to you. We need to step it up a little bit. I'm going to step it up a little bit. And I know the brother here at Isla Academy, Imam Jihad Safir, he's an Arab. He's an Arab student. He's a student of the Quran. He's a student. He's the Imam. He's Dr. Jihad Safir. But he's not. His curriculum is not Sister Claire Muhammad's curriculum. When you say Sister Claire Muhammad school, you know, you're talking about a history. You know, we have a history. In other words, we have a history that is tied to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his struggles. And, you know, we have a history of coming from Farad and Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming from Georgia out there. We want our history actually in our anything we do. You know, we don't never want to forget where we come from, you see.
Okay.
And so, alhamdulillah, so that's my point, that when you say Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School, and then Hafiz of Quran, just like they have, I think Brother Jihad got a Hafiz of Quran program. But it ain't. It's important. Alhamdulillah, it's still good. It's still great. But it could be greater if it had our history in it, and our history, Sister Claire Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Rod, Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago, our struggles and everything, and everything that we can't forget where we come from. You see what I mean? And so this is why we need to step it up a little bit, and I think we probably get more support. I think we get more support if we include a Hafiz of Quran program, a Hafiz of Quran program. And I just stopped by the Islamic Center of Hawthorne, California over here in order to get some literature and see if I've been looking at videos, listening to videos about how people go about that. Because we need to step it up a little bit. And I leave it right there. I'm at the drugstore, and I got to go in and get some medicine for my auntie, and I'll be listening to them. Assalamu alaikum.
And wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I just want to add something on to what Brother Hameen had said, is that there's a top seer by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said that we should learn Arabic because a message is going to be delivered to us, and it will only be in Arabic. Alhamdulillah. I still remember that. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. A long way, Bob. You got anything else you want to say, Brother?
What?
You got anything
you want to say? He's coming right back. He just stepped
out for 1 minute. I'd like to add to what they said. I'm looking at New Medina is not growing like it should have grown. And why? Yeah, it needed a school, but it also needed a place of where the children can enjoy themselves, where they can stay the same and do all the things that this world offered them to do, but in a moral,
hey, how you doing?
In a halal setting. You said something, Sugar?
Hey.
No, that wasn't him.
That's what I'm. If you ain't got the facility to put your children in where they can skate, where they can run, where they can sing, where they can dance, where they can have a good time, if those people among us could be good Hafiz, but they're not going to be good Hafiz if they're not a child life, not enjoy the life that God gave them to have. If you take away that from the children, that's what attracts our children away from us. People got things that they can enjoy away from us. And when our children get in those places and they start enjoying themselves, they don't want to come back. And when
he coming back. He's coming now. But you're right, okay, they want to play.
Medina is almost dying because their children left there and many of them didn't come back.
You know what, Brother Akbar, I was just telling Brother Shuja, I was just telling him, out here, they used to always have a baseball team. The children, you know, get into the baseball team, basketball team out here in Louisiana. They don't have that no more. And they didn't have to worry about buying the uniforms because we own our own stores and the stores sponsor them. But we don't even have that anymore. Alhamdulillah. For the children.
Alhamdulillah.
Go ahead. It's nothing wrong with being hollering of the Quran. That's beautiful. But when you ain't got a safety for your children, a place where they can go and let their hair down, enjoy themselves. And somebody else got the places for them to come and enjoy. You're going to lose your children.
That's how they learn.
That's how they learn.
Yes.
A child got fun, skip and jump, build them muscles up in his body. And they can't build it, trying to make a holy person out of a child. Child grow into knowledge. Moses had to grow up and grow into the knowledge and find his way to this religion, find his way to the best religion. And all children, you got a environment, they tell us that we lose our children or we lose the people that we have when they fall into the wrong environment. The Caucasian people have fell into the wrong environment, but they benefit from that. They own everything. They control everything. They create the environment. And until we stop giving them money, we read about the hypocrite, and then we go get a hypocrite our money to do the very thing that we know they're going to do against us. We go give them our money. We won't put our money together. We don't want to work with each other because they don't put in our vocabulary words and ideas that work against us. That's what Imam taught us. We come together and work together and weed out those ones that don't want to work with us. We weed them out. We weed out the troublemakers. And we come together and do what we got to do as men and women. If we're going to save ourselves and then say we're going to save our family, then we have to work together to do that. It ain't going to be done by magic. It's going to be done by serious people who are praying, who are trying to please Allah, following Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah to the T, following what the leaders have left us to follow. Then we're going to make progress. And to them, we don't think about doing something for our children. We're trying to pay the rent, keep the light on and all that. And we can't forget about our next generation. If we do that, we're going to lose it all. And that's what these people hope. They keep us busy doing nothing. Keep us, our minds focused on nothing but what they wanted to focus on. And we still call ourselves a Muslim. How can we call ourselves a Muslim? Not own the store, not own the business, not pushing from each other, working with each other, or not trying to live with each other. We call ourselves Muslim. That is a quality of a Muslim. That is the attribute of a Muslim, that we work together better than an ant do. When we start doing that, then we're going to make some serious progress. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sujo. I know you got something to say.
I go along with everything that you were saying, especially the point of view, that we got to create an environment for our children, and that's real important. And also I go along with what but I mean is saying. As far as trying to get our children into the Quran, I think getting them into the Quran would broaden the scope. It'll broaden the scope. And it's not so much. I mean, if they learn the Arabic, all praise be to Allah. If they learn the Arabic, all praise be to Allah. That'll be the goal. That'll be one of the goals is to learn the Arabic. But one of the main things is that they learn the Quran and they apply the book. Because we're gonna have different cultures. We got different cultures. A culture you know, from other peoples. Here in America, African American people got a different culture, and the people in Africa got I sit up and watch those African shows. They got different cultures, you know, and you got many of them is Muslims that has these different cultures, you know. But London, I have talked to brothers and sisters that from other countries that study Arabic. Also, it's a brother is a friend of my son. He got a whole lot of friends through him studying Arabic there in Syria and thing. But this brother. This brother, you know, he's a Hafiz, but he don't have his life together. Mm-hmm. He's a Hafiz, but he don't have his life together. Young brother, you know, and my, you know, my son used to go by his home and visit, and she still do it, go by and visit him all the time. You know, he don't wind up separating from his wife. Yeah, he had two small children. And things like that, you know, but learning this here knowledge is important that the person understands that he had to apply this book. He's valuable when he apply the book. But he's not valuable if he just learned the book. You understand? This is what the law says right here. In reference to righteousness. And that's what I'm talking about, righteousness. Allah said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, with Allah's name most gracious, the most merciful. Allah said, it is not righteousness that you turn your faces. Could I have my glass?
My glass.
Okay. No, you said it's not righteousness that you turn your faces towards east or west. But it is righteousness to believe in Allah on the last day and the angels and the book and the messengers to spend of your substance out of love for him, for your kin, for the orphan, for the needy, for the wayfarer, for those who act. And for the ransoms of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer, to practice regular charity, to fulfill the contract. Don't make no contract and stuff, and don't fulfill it, you know, according to the agreement. To fulfill the contract which you have made, and to be firm and patient in pain or suffering and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. Search of the peoples of truth, the God fear. So, you know, like my son, he not only know Arabic and learned it Arabic, but he speak Arabic. In other words, he can communicate with Arabic speaking person. They can have a conversation. I'm sitting there looking at it. You know, they talking in Arabic. You know, so when you learn how to think in Arabic, then it's different from just memorizing the book. You know, one of the main things Arabic does is broaden your scope. That's the main thing. It's a language that broaden the person's scope. You know, of seeing a thing, it has more it has more addition to a word or anything that you talk about. It's the Arabic language have a broader understanding. But that's when you got that understanding, you got a responsibility. You can't have that understanding and be a player. You know what I mean? You got that understanding, and you more responsible. What like my salam?
Alhamdulillah. Yes. Yeah. You know, when you read the Quran in Arabic, according to what I've been taught, you're communicating with your Lord in the language that He revealed. You know.
Right.
And you know, see, the first Hafiz of Quran, if we follow Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
If we follow Prophet, the first Hafiz of Quran, the first person who knew the Quran from front to back, from beginning to end, is Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah.
You see,
he was walking Quran.
And he's walking Quran. And
yeah.
Imam Muhammad, he always emphasized to us that the meaning of words of the Quran is most important. We want to get the meaning. That's why when he came about and he first started teaching us the Quran and encouraging us to learn the Arabic, he also taught us meanings of words. In other words, okay, someone could read the Quran and they could read the talk that Abraham gave to his Lord. He says, "Oh Lord," he says, "not that I don't believe anything, but how do you plan to give?" I'll paraphrase it.
Okay.
How do you plan to give life to the dead? And Allah told him, and I'm paraphrasing now. He said, "You get four birds, and you put them on each hill, and then I think he said, you train them to come to thee, and they'll come at your call, you know, or you train them to do something." But Imam told us what the four birds was. The four birds was economics or finance, money, economics, government, culture, and one more, you know, and if you can think of that one more, it's four. That's what the four birds are, you know, economics, culture,
education.
Government, and then education. That's right.
Yeah.
Education, you see? And so then he went on to say in the Bible, it talks about four rivers coming out of, I'm paraphrasing, somewhere, the four rivers. That's the same thing. Or he says the four mountains, the four birds, the four rivers, you know. So we got an understanding of something that maybe somebody else may not understand. You see, because the Imam taught us the meaning. He taught us the meaning, you know, because in the Holy Quran, in the Yusuf Ali edition, he says, well, the four birds, but also the Imam, he went on and he interpreted it for us. He gave us a little bit more. He said, well, the four mountains or the four streams or the four rivers, all that is the same, as I understand it. So,
let me add something to that, I totally agree what you're saying. That he taught us that, because I was there, I was right there, and but now he, one thing through you going into the Quran, Allah is saying in the Quran that there's a person that reads the Quran, and in the Quran you got the basis, you call it the fundamental, the basic, and you got the allegorical. Okay, now this is something adding to the understanding that you had to go in there and get out of the grant. You got the basic, and the basic is when Allah say something to us that is plain, you know, but now there's a part that the person that wants to go in there and get somebody that's deep, they call that allegorical. In other words, you got to interpret what it means. You got to interpret
right.
what it means. So now. Yeah. You got a group that's going in there to get in the plane. You got people that goes in there and just look at the base. You know, and for example, I was explaining this here on the Lifeline where in Surah 16, Ayat 98 teaches us about Allah tell us that when you read the Quran, seek his protection against Shaitan, against Satan. Okay, then they don't need no interpretation. That's plain. That's basic. When you pick up the book and read the Quran, seek his protection against Satan, you know. But now if it was allegorical, then I got to interpret it and give you some of the higher meaning, you know.
Right.
So what you're saying is right. What you're saying, I'm just adding something to the understanding that you got of the book.
Right.
Because the Quran got it. It's from Allah.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And
it's basically and allegorical. Yeah.
And allegorical.
That's
exactly.
Right. Basic and allegorical. Right.
But some people want to put the allegorical over the basic. You
right.
know what I
mean? See, in the Holy Quran, it says Allah could give I forgot the Arabic word for symbolism
yeah.
and the interpretation. But Allah could give that to whoever he wills, wills to get that, and you know, and the Imam got it, and Allah gave it to the Imam. See, that's why the Imam really didn't emphasize just being just a hafiz, because it was the meaning of the Holy Quran that was important to him, most important. But
yeah.
I think now that the Imam has laid down information for 30-something years. We got the knowledge. All we need to do is go back over it and get our children focused into the Quran. Get them focused. Have Quranic recitation contests. They like to compete each other. And look here.
Yeah.
Allah has allowed this rap music to become a part of all of our lives. You know what I mean? This rap music, but in the rap music is also recitation. They're learning to use the spoken word, and whoever, and some of them rap lyrics, you hear some of them, the little youngsters, I don't mean the filthy stuff, I don't mean the profane stuff, but some of them could really use those words, and they could come and they'd be rhyming all kind of stuff, and really clever stuff. Well, that's kind of like it was in the time of Prophet Muhammad, because
right.
the Arabs was known as people who liked to recite
the poetry,
but
thing.
When the Quran came, it overshadowed all that. So these same youngsters, if we focus them into the Quran, we say, hey, you know, okay, you 4-year-olds, you 3-year-olds, we're going to have a Quranic recitation. We're going to see who can memorize it. They love to compete, just like them little youngsters on the hip-hop. Not you know, the dirty stuff, but they like to compete with each other, and they have these rap battles, and they say, you know, who could use these words the best and the cleverest and all like that, you know what I mean? And then now, not only, you know, just memorizing the Quran, like, you know, verbatim, but now we got the meaning. Imam Muhammad has left us with the meaning of a lot of words, with a lot of concepts, with a lot of ideas. We got, you know, so it's rich. And it's our time. It's our time. That's what I believe Allah has for us. And alhamdulillah, and I'd like to take advantage of it. Alhamdulillah.
There was a presentation that my son made.
Yeah, I just, if I could chime in, I've been listening to all the things we've been talking about. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, I can hold my back since a new person come in. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just have to make sure that, especially when y'all was talking about the allegory going to everything, you have to keep the balance, because all the allegory, all it means is that you go to talking and thinking, and you forget all about putting it in deeds and actions, which is the basics, you know, because if we really study the basics of Islam, it's what the workers and the service of Allah responsibility to build this model community, build this way of this favor called al-Islam, you know, so that people have a easy way as they are being guided by the allegorical to the higher meaning of why you are establishing the basis of worship for those who believe and life for those who believe. So when we put it in deeds and actions, we'll get there. But see, we still didn't realize how, in an allegorical sense, especially those of us who come from the Nation of Islam, we still in that mothership allegorical mentality, you know, and we are waiting around on Allah to put itself in a vision to us before we come back down to earth and build this responsibility that we're supposed to be establishing on earth that people of the Bible didn't do before it became contaminated and disorientated. Because, you know, they stress in their lifestyle that they are going to bring and establish the kingdom of on earth. But we know now that the Muslims, those of the Quran, are responsible for establishing peace on this earth, you know, and a life that glorifies their relationship with the Creator, Almighty God, Allah. And right now, we are in a state of innovation, and we all know what we were taught way back in the beginning of Imam's explaining to us al-Islam, the religion, the way, not the religion that was given to us as something that we could identify, but the way of life called al-Islam. We was warned of innovation because we came from innovation by Allah's mercy. Allah freed us from the innovational life of the what they call Christianity, the belief in that God had a son and a white man with this and all the other allegorical, innovative ideas they had to subdue the nature, our earthly nature, our human nature, and use it to enslave us or for us to enslave ourselves or establish a value system that will make us kill over for something that is artificial. It's not real. And that word artificial intelligence today is an innovative mind. As you see, everybody on this earth, they're engaged in innovation. They're getting paid big money for doing it. Every year, they be adding a little bit of this to a car, a little bit of this to the hat, a little bit. And what we know is fad, the dress code and the world changes. So much. All this innovation to keep the human being distracted.
Yes, sir.
You know, from what?
I just want to clear up something. When I brought up allegorical, I'd like to know, let the the person, I'd like to let the people know what allegorical means. Allegorical means idea, taking the idea and you turn it into a story. You know, like the story of Joseph. That's allegorical. Joseph was in the well and things like that. And there's many allegorical stories that they use with Moses. Allegorical, but when you say basic or fundamental, then we talking about something that you don't have to interpret it. Allegorical, you got to interpret the allegorical. You know, those two different things that you had to apply. You apply the basic, or you apply the allegorical. Which is stories, and there's plenty of stories in the Quran and it's got high meaning because it's from Allah, you know, and one of the things that I asked the imams, many imams, I asked them, is there any point where we as believers in the Quran, and we study the Quran, that we become adults, or we become grown-ups, or we get to the point where we grow up and we know the Quran just like you know it. You know, and that's important. You know, where when I talk to someone, I don't talk to them like they're children, and they still a baby. But also in the Quran, you can get one ayat, and you can get 20 people, and they'll give you 20 different point of view of that one ayat, because it's God's word. They can give you 20 different views, and each one of them can be right, absolutely right. You see, so that's how broad the Quran is. You know, it's not some that you read is only have one meaning. You know, and that was one of the things my son was trying to explain to me, that the way that the peoples is learning in Islam, that they taught them in Islam, especially the Middle Eastern brothers, taught the people in Islam, is that you got to regurgitate, you know, or you got to learn what somebody say, and you got to be able to say the exact thing what they say. But in the Quran, you know, people can get different point of views in this book because it's the word of God. I just want to add that to you. I saw man.
And we also need to thank Allah that we need to remember that His favor is Al-Islam. The Quran is not a favor. That was something that was coming to guide us on how to accept this favor over all other ways of life that the human family has experienced in the history of revelation. And so we have been derailed and has made the Quran a way of life that you're not going to be able to live because there's no it's so big and so broad the meaning of it because it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, I give you this way of life or is a favor in your reality as a human being. If you live this way, you can continue to grow in the guidance of the Quran to help you maintain the faith to stick to the will and do what you was created to do. And that was to be responsible for life on this earth while Shaitan is given his respite to test the best of creation sent down here with him for this test. And that's the human family, using that terminology. When we get back to trying to establish Al-Islam, starting with the pillars of it and their definition of it, you see it will automatically motivate us to be builders, inventors, thinkers, fathers, mothers, farmers, industry people. We'll do all of the things that we were supposed to try to accept as a way of life better than what always other life Allah has created for Imam, for the human being to go through. Why Shaitan was testing him as we Allah brought us to the stages of our development. Now we're in our final development. And we are very innovative. We are still following the world. We're still following the book. And you can't live the book. You can live what Allah has given us out of the book. That was a way of life. And he's given us a human example of how we can do it, our role in it. And then it also tells how to treat the animals. We know their life. We know the nature of everything that Allah has mentioned to us in the Quran. The nature of sales. The nature of atoms. If we want to tell, we have the ability to study and learn the nature of it and use it to establish worship to Allah. Worship to Allah. See, the Quran can become your Allah, and you'll be, again, deviated. Because the Quran is the final guidance to bring us to this way of life called out Islam so that we can be a model, not a talking, not an allegorical, not an innovator, but one who's living the guidance of the Quran so that we can go to the go back to another reality that inshallah will even be better from the reality that we came from in our creation before we came down here. We know
we
that we're in a transitorial.
Four more minutes.
Yes, sir. So I just want to.
Alhamdulillah.
Always remember, we got to keep your, and everybody know, history has always showed that quote, everybody had to keep their feet on the ground. We all up in the air now. We talk about every day with ways to talk about something. That is the truth. But it is the truth that is being used to guide you away from your responsibility as a human being. You know, like taking care of our children, preparing a way of life for our children, preparing a way of food for our children. Now, I say this right quickly. He said this morning on the CD I was listening to this morning. He said, when you let your culture or your racism become your identity, that when you go to try to be whatever else you want to be, it's going to be all messed up. He said it's going to be a big mess because you are living the wrong identity. You are wanting to be a motivator of racism, a motivator of a duplicated identity, you know, except instead of being who you are, and that is a bookman.
Alhamdulillah.
Who is a Muslim.
Alhamdulillah. You're right.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. We got Sister Lala going to bring her up and let her do a poetry that she do. Sister Lala, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Sister, you got it.
Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. May your day be beautiful, peaceful, happy, healthy, abundant, and filled with the love that is being sent your way now. Have a good day. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's see this other one. In case nobody told you this today, you are an amazing person and a beautiful human being. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Yes. Wishing you a great start on Monday. No obstacle for Tuesday. No stress on Wednesday. No troubles on Thursday. Many smiles on Friday. A relaxing Saturday and a beautiful Sunday. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I have another. I pray you woke up today feeling loved, hopeful, blessed, and highly favored. Amen.
Amen.
Another one. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
A blessed day, full of joy and peace in your heart. Love and peace.
Amen.
And every morning I wake up, I'm blessed. No matter how much trauma is in my life or how much pain my body may be in, I know Allah is watching over me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Don't forget about the fish and grits in the morning, Akbar.
I'll be there.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Okay, Sujar, you close us out.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy favor and grace, not of those whom thy wrath has brought down, not those who go astray. I mean.
Amen. May Allah bless us all. We're on the right track.